Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and I have a great guest, so let's get started. You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. My dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, myself, Dr. Zach Clinton, are actually sitting down with Chris Tomlin. Time magazine has called him the most often sung artist in the world, and it's easy to see why. With 21 number one singles, billions of streams, and songs sung in churches across the globe every single Sunday, Chris Tomlin has been used by God to give the church its voice of worship for decades.
Yeah, Chris, what a delight to have you. Thank you for joining us.
What an honor, man. Thank you.
I'm really looking forward to this time. Seriously, I know we're here, Hershey, Pennsylvania, the Giant Center. It's going to be a packed out, sold out crowd, 8,000 women who in a moment as this, they're coming hungry. And there's a hungry for holiness. I know that there's a lot of devastation, but I believe that there's also a holy determination in God's church that even when we don't know what to do, we can know where to turn. Chris, as we open up in this conversation, I'm just thinking, having heard that you are the most often sung musician, singer in the world, thinking all the way back, what are just a couple of words, a couple of emotions that stir within you just to see the goodness of God and what he's been able to do through you throughout your career?
The instant word that comes is gratitude, thankfulness. I say it, almost every night at my concerts, but worship comes from a grateful heart. That's where it comes from, and we have a lot to be grateful for in our life. And when I look back at the impact of these songs, I would have never dreamed. Hmm. Would have never dreamed that these songs would have that kind of impact in people's lives. What a privilege! I count it such a privilege to be able to stand before people and help them worship God. It's kind of been the mission since I was a kid to give people a voice to worship God. That's kind of been my mission in music, and it even started out that way as a young kid. I did not like getting up and singing. I was singing in my little church. I come from a very small little church in Texas, and I would get up and play songs. I didn't like it when people would just listen to me. I liked when people would sing. I didn't even know that God was putting that in me, that wiring me of this worship leader. I never heard that term. I just wanted people to sing when I played, and so I started trying to write songs that way in the simplest form I could. And wow, going from these little places in Texas to now all around the world over all these years, it's been over 30 years of touring for me now, and just so grateful, man. Yeah. So grateful.
Chris is a counselor, and by the way, thank you again for joining us. Mm-hmm. I love backstory. I want to stay there for a moment. When did things start kind of just snowballing for you? When did it start clicking? You know what? I feel this unction in my spirit. I feel like God's called me. But it's becoming evident. And where did that start coming? Were it a couple of individuals? Was there a moment or two where it just boom?
There's so many, there's these marking moments along my life, and it's all people who come into your life at the right moment, who believe in you, who see something you don't see. Mm. I would have never dreamed it. I was right out of high school. I was just graduating high school, and I got the chance to play at this youth conference. This little youth week at this little church in East Texas. And this guy speaking, his name was James. I was asked to be the worship leader for this. I'd never done this before in my life. I'd only knew like three or four songs. And I was asked to be playing for the whole week. I'd never done this outside of my own church. And I was like, okay, I get a call from this guy named James. He has this really deep voice. And he's like, hello, my name is James. I was like, hey, James, I'm Chris. He's like, yes, I'm speaking at this youth event. And I hear you're doing the music, and the reason I'm calling you is I've never heard of you before, and I'm just wondering what kind of music you do. And I'll just never forget this conversation. I was like, well, James, the reason you never heard of me is I've never done this before, and you're calling me at my parents' house. I live with my parents. I'm in high school. And he's just like, he's in the long pause, because this is a professional, right? And he's like, oh, gosh. And he's like, well, what kind of songs do you play? And I was like, I know three songs. And he said, okay. He said, well, you're going to need to learn some music. You're going to learn some songs. I was like, okay. So he sends me these tapes and CDs. This is the craziest thing. And I'll never forget. It's these tapes and these worship songs. And it's these early, it's, I'll tell you when it was. It was tapes. And it said produced by Louis Giglio. And it's like these, it was these early like worship things that were coming out of this ministry in at Baylor University at the time. Well, I didn't know any of that. I just started learning these songs. Well, I get to this event. Again, I'm 18 years old. I start leading. I don't know what I'm doing at all. I don't know what I'm doing at all. At the end of the week, James comes to me and goes, hey, I'll tell you two things. I've been praying for you this week. And one is you have no idea what you're doing. And I was like, wow. Thank you for that. Yeah. I mean, it was that straight. You have no idea what you're doing. He goes, and secondly, you have no idea how God's going to use your songs all over the world.
Wow.
I'll never forget this, man. And I'm looking at him like, I don't have any songs. I'm just playing other people's songs. Mm-hmm. And he said, as you've been leading this week, I feel like God is showing me, speaking to me that you're going to write songs and the world's going to sing those songs. Wow. And he just put his hand on my head. And he said, God, would you make Chris a psalm writer for his generation?
No kidding.
And I'm just looking at him like, it felt like lightning went through me, man.
Wow.
And I was like, what is going on? Fast forward a couple of years, I'm getting in college, and I started this little Bible study at Texas A&M called Breakaway. I started leading this little thing and in it with my friend Greg, and it starts exploding. And then I go to this youth camp, and this guy named Louis Giglio speaking. I'm like, you're the guy on the tapes, man. That's how I learned these songs. And I start playing these songs, and he's like, where are these songs coming from? And I was like, I'm just writing them. And he's like, I speak everywhere, and I've never heard these songs like this. And he's like, and so he started taking me where he would speak, and we started traveling together. And then he said, I have this vision for this. It wasn't called Passion then, but it's like this college gathering.
Sure.
And then, would you help me start it? And I was like, sure, let's do it. And all of these steps along the way were just these things where God was just orchestrating this. Looking back, going, I would never dream.
Wow.
I would never dream. Here's the crazy thing. Fast forward 25 years. I get a call from that James guy. And he says, hey, man, we kept in touch. He'd done ministry. He was in ministry in Oklahoma. He said, I really feel like I'm supposed to be in politics now. And I feel like I'm supposed to run for Congress. And you're now who you are. And could you come with me around Oklahoma and get crowds? And like, we set up and do Walmarts and stuff, and I can campaign. And I was like, okay, let's kind of pay it back. You know, he's the one who really believed me. So I started doing this, and he wins Congress, and then I'm in for Oklahoma at the federal level. And then I'm looking on the news one day, and there is Senator James Lankford.
No way.
Wow.
And that's the James.
That's the James.
Wow.
You are kidding me.
That's a Senator James Lankford who is, he's talking to Wolf Blitzer about ISIS. And I'm just like, what is going on? I text like, James, how are you a senator, bro? You just got to Congress. He goes, yeah, the Senate seat came open. I ran for that. And I'm there. I'm senator now. And that's the guy when I was 17 years old who said, you're going to write songs one day and the whole world's going to sing your songs.
Mm.
And now, I mean, God's using him in incredible ways in our nation. And it's just amazing. You look at this. And then he led the national prayer breakfast not too long ago. James did. And he asked me to come and lead worship. And all I could do was sit up there, and I'm sitting up there with it was me and the president, the vice president, and a senator, and then James was down the end. And I was just up on this table. And then all the world leaders were out there. And I just kept thinking, if anybody knew this story, none of these people know this story, but me and the other guy at the end of this table, that he said, one day you're going to sing songs and the world's going to sing them. And then here we are leading literally the leaders of the world, you know, some 30 years later, for our nation together. I was just like, wow, God.
You know, I love the story, Chris, because it's an encouragement, I think, to everyone listening.
Yes.
A willing heart. And you never know how our God works. He works in mysterious ways.
That's it.
And the scripture says he'll use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Yes.
You never know how God's going to work.
Yes. I heard one of my favorite things is, I heard John Maxwell say one day, he said, your greatest ability is availability.
That's right.
And I was like, I felt like that is the story of my life. When I was a kid, I prayed. I can take you to the tree in this field where I knelt and prayed to God, whatever you want for the rest of my life. I know you're speaking to me. I don't know what you're saying. I have no idea. I remember telling God, I'm an eighth grader. You're the creator of the world. I don't know what to say to you, but I know you're speaking to me. And all I want to say is, whatever you want, I'm here. I will follow you. And that's what God's looking for, right? I didn't say, I want to be a songwriter. I didn't even know that was coming. I just always want to be available to wherever God was leading.
Yes, Chris. You know, I'm thinking about what keeps a guy like Chris Tomlin centered, right? When you've been able to minister and you've led worship countless times, countless arenas, countless lives that God has used you to minister to in a time of need. Our culture's in a time of need right now. I want to ask this up front. What keeps you centered and grounded and anchored in such a time as this?
Well, one is I have an incredible wife, incredible family. You know, you got to have people around you.
That's right.
You can't be an island. You can't just be isolated. You know, in this world, man, it'll eat you up. And so I have an incredible family. My wife's so grounding. I mean, yesterday, all that we're going through in our nation, she's like, Chris, I know people are looking for something. They're looking for something right now. She goes, you need to put on the full armor of God. I want you to pray that right now. You need to pray the blood of Jesus over everything you're doing. And, you know, that's like coming from my wife, you know, and like that's coming from, and so that's what we're in this together, you know, so that's powerful. I got an amazing team around me, and that's what keeps me centered and keeps me, my feet on the ground, and the church and my people that are with me, you know, knowing that I've got people praying for me right now that have every date on my, on the calendar that are praying that God's mercy and people have an encounter with him. So those are things that really keep me grounded.
Chris, you know, as we are in fractured, divided again, seasons of devastation right now across the country. God is using you on the front lines to continue to go out and to share the good news of the gospel. And I'm interested, just as you are going out, as you're about to embark in front of 8,000 women this evening,
God, this is a moment. He's uniquely
positioned you, and I'm interested, what have you observed within the Big C Church in terms of their response in the midst of this cultural moment?
It feels like a shift, man. It feels like a shift, and like people are just hungry for God. And I've been ending my nights. This new album, and the last song on this record, I sequence songs for a reason on my records. And the last song on this record, I would have never dreamed how timely it was. I took the hymn, This Is My Father's World, and I added this little refrain to it. And we've been singing at the end of the nights on this tour. My goodness. And the last verse, this is my father's world, so let me not forget that though the wrong seems often strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my father's world, so why is my heart so sad? He is the king. Let heaven sing and let the earth be glad. We just sing this refrain. He reigns. He reigns forever on the throne. He reigns. He reigns. This is my father's world.
I got chills, man. I'm serious.
And just when we sing that, when I say the place erupts, and just declaring he reigns. He reigns forever on the throne. He reigns. He reigns. This is my father's world. And just to declare that over this time and see people just really feel that faith again, that faith in like that there is something. It's this has lifted our eyes, and what I love about worship, it does this, but this moment in our culture really lifts our eyes off ourselves and reminds us that we're part of a greater kingdom. We're part of something that is so much bigger and everlasting. And that's what I've been trying to remind people, that kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall, governments come, governments go, people rise, people fall. Everything on this earth has a beginning and an end, except this kingdom that we belong to has an everlasting king. And that's what I've been trying to point people to. And if people didn't ever feel it, they know it right now. They sense that there is something everlasting. There is something eternal. There is a king that is above all these earthly things. And our hope in these earthly things is such a small kingdom, you know, and just pointing people to the greater kingdom.
People are crying out that God would see them in the midst of this insanity. And faith, that there's a dynamic that's happening in culture. You're right. As we began, you talked about a shift. And we don't need God less. We need God more. And the people know it. In the midst of it, you know, it's an interesting thought. You guys, you say that worship's a weapon. Mm-hmm. Take us back into that mindset for a moment about what worship can really do to the human soul.
Yeah, there's nothing. I always say it. What we do when we come and sing and worship together, it ought to be different than any other music of the world because your soul is singing to a living God.
Yeah.
You're connecting with the eternal. You're connected. This isn't just, I'm just singing along with the radio. I love this tune. I love this melody. It makes me feel good. Those are all great. I love all music. Mm-hmm. There's something about worship because it connects you to that eternal song that never ends. It connects you to the saints before us. Mm-hmm. It connects you to what will come after us. It connects us all together. And we remember, we remember that, wow, we are a part of this great story and this great kingdom. And there's something about, I love that God gave us that music, you know, something about this is how it stirs the soul and speaks. And it is a weapon. It goes out into, it pierces the darkness. It is an assault on the darkness that's coming at it because, I mean, when you're bringing worship to God, isn't it amazing that things just flee? I mean,
light dispels darkness.
Yes, it does. We know it, but maybe some of your listeners may be reminded in the Old Testament in the wars, they would send singers out first. How great, what?
Yeah.
Send the God would say, put the singers out first and praise me. It's like, wow, you know? In a spiritual sense, what a picture of like going out and saying, praise the Lord. You know, and then let everything else start crumbling around after that.
You brought up the word remembrance. Mm-hmm. That's really what is at the heart of worship, like you said, gratitude, but then remembering that our God is a God with a perfect track record. He's done it before, and he's the same God that will do it again because he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, right? He is truly holy forever. You're releasing your brand new album here a week from today, actually, September 26th, 2025, whenever you're listening to this. But the King is still the King. I would love for you, what a timely title that is for an album, but I would love for you to remind us just what was your prayer? What was your heart as you're writing these songs, as you're working on this entire album? And it's just amazing how God has specifically orchestrated and ordained you guys to release this right here in this particular moment. What's at the heart of it all?
The King is still the King. Yeah. There's so much intention in this album. This has been a 3-year process, the longest I've ever gone in making a record.
Wow.
Holy Forever was the last kind of song, and it was 3 years ago. Yeah. Crazy. I haven't released music since then. And so this record is kind of the new season. It's my 18th album to make, which is just what a blessing that is and a gift to do. But the King is still the King. It's not just a nice title. It's a statement of faith. It is a declaration of faith. This is a statement to the world and a statement to all of us that, again, like I said, that we are part of an everlasting kingdom to remind ourselves. And so when I think about this, there's a song on there called, there's a song on this album that's kind of the anchor song called Still the King, where we got the title from. There's a line in that song, and it says, for the blood is still the blood, and the King is still the King. That's why you see my hat. That's why you see everything you see of mine, anything you see of me recently in the media has this symbol and it's this, the crown of thorns wrapped around the crown of the King of Kings. Wow. And I've never really seen that before. And I just had this artist create it for me. And I said, I want the crown of thorns wrapped around the crown of the King of Kings. I said, because that tells the whole story.
Yeah.
The blood is still the blood and the King is still the King. And that's what this record really portrays. And when Jesus was on this earth, he wore a crown. It was a crown of thorns, which is the mark of our forgiveness, which is he was shamed, he was mocked with his crown. He took on our shame, his blood, our forgiveness. And yet today he wears the crown of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation 19, this epic passage speaks to this.
Yes.
I mean, go with me for a second. This passage, I put it on the album cover. If you look really close in the back of the crown, it says Revelation 19. And this is the reason I put it on there. It talks about Jesus coming back, and it says he will ride a white horse, and he'll be followed by the saints. And it says, and he'll be wearing a robe that's dipped in blood. Blood is still the blood. The King is still the King. And it says, and on that robe be written the name, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And he's like setting all things right, right? The second coming. And I was like, wow. And so the heart of this record, it goes from the start of this record to from How Good It Is, just like this call to praise, to the ending of This Is My Father's World. He reigns forever on the throne. He reigns, this is my Father's world. Everything is very intentional in that, just helping me and helping all of us remember that we're part of a greater kingdom. Yes. And one that is, and we have an everlasting king. So that's really the heart of it. 16 songs with music pieces all through the record, which is really, really fun, that are titled with emojis, crown emojis.
I love that.
And such a little different idea on there, but that just connects the whole thing all the way through. And so it's filled with songs that I think are going to be helpful to people. And maybe I could speak to one song on there that is the probably the surprise song of my career, maybe, as a title. And it's right in the middle of the record for a reason, because I think it's where people are and maybe where people are right now. The title of the song is called Help My Unbelief. When you think of my music, that's not a title you see coming. It's, you know, when you think of How Great Is Our God, Holy Forever, Holy Big Is the Lord, Good Good Father, all these songs of just like helping people hopefully encounter God in the throne room of God. Help My Unbelief. And he was like, and this gospel, I took this idea, because I think people were out there and they're just, I'm going to set up the story, Mark, in Gospel of Mark. This dad is bringing his son, finds out Jesus is coming to town. And is bringing his son to Jesus to be healed. And he encounters Jesus. And he says, and I mean, we read these stories, right? And we just forget, this is real stuff. Imagine Jesus coming to your town and your boy needs healing. You're going to do whatever you can. He gets in front of Jesus, says, have mercy on us. And if you can, would you heal my son? And Jesus says in Mark 9, what do you mean if I can? All things are possible for those who believe, which is, that's the bumper sticker, right? That's the, that's what we put on the back of our car. All things are possible for those who believe. But it was the dad's response. He said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. And who hasn't felt that? I love that that's in the Gospels. Because if you haven't felt that, you haven't lived long enough. That's what I say, because that is a real human experience, this struggle of life. And I love that this dad looks at Jesus and says, I do believe, but right now I'm struggling. Help my unbelief. And you know what? Jesus didn't say, well, you don't 100% believe, so I'm moving on. He healed that child. And this is what I want to remind people, that when we are at our, the scripture says, when you're weakest, his strength is perfect. He's at his strongest. And so right now, if you're like, man, I just feel, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And I just feel I have struggle in my faith. Just know that that is right in the middle of the Gospels. I believe, but help my unbelief. And that's why I put this song in there. It's not a song of despair. It's a song of hope in the midst of struggle. And I think when people hear this song, it'll bring great hope to them. It's like, man, I'm right there. You know, I've already played it for a few people. Not, I mean, no one's heard it yet because I haven't put it out, but I played it. I got one chance to play it on a radio station, and I played it, and we played every song on the record. They let me play every song on the record, and then we played this one. And when I say the difference in the people calling in and texting the program directors and like tears down my face, I needed to hear this, because that's where people are in our country. That's where people feel. They feel that deeply. People have a, they have a faith, but they're struggling. And that's why this song sits in there. So I'm excited for people to hear that, and hopefully it brings some real encouragement to them.
Chris, something that I know about you is that you're not hard to find. God is continuing to fill and advance his kingdom as he empties you. You're out there again doing such incredible things for the cause of Christ. And I want to close this way, because you just kicked off your fall tour September 17th, and you're going to 20 cities across the U.S. And I know you finish up November 8th in Oklahoma City. But I just wanted to ask, for all of our audience members out there, they probably already know about you. What's the one-stop shop that they can go to make sure they get plugged in?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, I don't know if there's a one-stop shop anymore, because it's well, there's Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Ask Alexa, all the things, you know. But you obviously ChrisTomlin.com is where my tour dates are and all that. But wherever you stream music these days, that's where. So I'd love for people to connect, connect to these new songs. We've released three so far, but the whole album comes out, as you said, September 26th. The King is still the King.
The King is still the king. Chris Tomlin, our friend, thank you so much just for your time, your willingness to join
us.
What
a pleasure,
man. Can't wait. Can't wait for
tonight.
Thanks
for letting me be part of these events with you guys. And it's an honor to lead with y'all.
We love and appreciate you, sir. To all of our audience, hey, thank you so much for joining us. As you've heard today, if you're worried, if you're weary, our hope and prayer is that you would just continue to posture yourself back to the heart of God and really be centered back in this heart of worship. Why? Mm-hmm. The King is and always will be the King. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We love being a part of your life.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.